Lecture 38, Scholastic Culture.
Hello again, and welcome to lecture number 38 in our series on the foundations of Western civilization. This time we're going to talk about the scholastic culture of Europe in the High Middle Ages. Now, scholasticism is a convenient sort of catch-all term for the dominant Latin culture of the intellectual life of high medieval Europe. A few preliminary considerations may help us to place scholastic culture into some kind of perspective, then we can go along and define that culture and then explore some of its major achievements. Let's begin backwards. Let's say that there was a Latin culture in the High Middle Ages that was not scholastic. The commonest form of Latin writing, for example, was letters. Now, some of these were elegant literary compositions, the correspondence of the star-crossed lovers Abelard and Heloise, for example. Most of it was bureaucratic and governmental. There survived, for example, thousands, literally thousands of papal letters, government documents of various kinds. Some of it was scholarly and friendly at the same time. Major figures such as Hildegard of Bingen or John of Salisbury, keeping up with their friends and discussing with them some of the great intellectual issues of the day. There were mystical writers such as Bernard of Clairvaux. We talked about him and his role in the spread of the Cistercian order of monks in the 12th century. There were also the monks of the school of Saint Victor in Paris. Now, these were persons who wrote deeply affective treatises that were in important respects conceived in opposition to scholasticism. In other words, instead of the dialectical reasoning of scholasticism, more about that in a few minutes, these were treatises based on the necessity, the importance, the validity of immediate divine inspiration. Satire was revived from antiquity after it had been dormant for a long time. One of the most devastatingly clever and interesting of the satires of the 12th century in Latin was the Gospel According to the Silver Marx, which was a devastating critique of clerical wealth and excess. There was also a vast corpus of Latin poetry. Most of it was religious, but not all of it. For example, there were a group of student poems called the Goliard poems that in lots of ways provide some interesting insights into student life in the High Middle Ages, but also provide us with some sense of the uses to which poetry could be put. Here's an example of one of these Goliard poems. In the public house to die is my resolution. Let wine to my lips be nigh at life's dissolution. That will make the angels cry with glad elocution. Grant this drunkard, God on high, grace and absolution. Now, a figure like Peter Abelard, for example, can reveal the cross currents of his age. We'll meet him again in a little while as a significant philosopher, but he was also a poet. He wrote a poem called David's Lament for Jonathan. Now, it's a wonderful reflection on David and his great biblical friend Jonathan, but anyone, and that means everyone, who knew of Abelard's ill-fated love affair with Heloise will have heard this poem as something more than merely reflections on a biblical theme. Lo, in thy grave with thee happy to lie, since there's no greater thing left love to do, and to live after thee is but to die. For with but half a soul, what can life do? So share thy victory, or else thy grave, either to rescue thee or with thee lie. Ending that life for thee that thou didst save, so death that sundereth might bring more nigh. Peace, O my stricken lute, thy strings are sleeping. Would that my heart could still its bitter weeping. So, a great variety of non-scholastic Latin literature. Now, let's also remember that the cultural achievements of high medieval Europe would be utterly inconceivable without the economic and geographic expansion of the age. Economic and geographic. People went further and encountered more than ever before. In places like Sicily, for example, in the Crusader states created in the Eastern Mediterranean, in Spain, there were encounters, repeated encounters, of Latins with the learnings of the Arab and Jewish world, with scholars from other traditions, with renewed acquaintance with Greek works.